And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on this Saturday morning. It looks like rain today, so who knows? Maybe we'll wash the pollen away. I kind of cringed the other day. I was driving down a country road in the evening, and I saw a man on a four-wheeler pulling a tank on wheels behind him, and he was spraying the fence line. I have no idea what the name exactly of the chemical he was spraying. You can just bet your bottom dollar it was a pretty toxic herbicide, right? Well, what caught my attention was also it was just pretty windy, and he was wearing shorts. I mean, do you not think that that stuff is going to get onto the skin and just soak right into your cells and your blood? Of course it is. Anyway, it just made me kind of nervous. I came across an article that I want to share with you. It's written by Judy Phillips, MH. I think that means she's a master's of public health. But to me, this is so intriguing and so interesting. I want you to just listen to what Judy Phillips has to say about this topic. But let me just preface it by saying there are many forms of magnesium that are sold on the store shelf. And the other day somebody brought in one that was made of magnesium oxide. Magnesium oxide is just very poorly absorbed. It's far from being one of the best ones that you can utilize. But I realize some people are going to use that. But there are other forms that are very, very good. Now, one of the things I want to talk about this morning is a form of magnesium known as magnesium chloride. A lot of times you can go into the health food store and you can purchase this, and it can come in a gel form or an oil-based form, and you can just rub it directly into your skin. But what's so amazing about it is it just soaks right through that top layer of the skin and goes right into your bloodstream. And so this got me to thinking, your skin, I was reading an article, it soaks up literally 60% of what you apply to it. So could you imagine going to the store and buying a lotion? Does it make a difference what the lotion is composed of? Oh, you betcha it does. What if it has chemicals in it, like sun protection factor number 45, or, you know, something of the equivalent? Well, that is going to soak into your skin. There are certain things that once they go into the skin, oh boy, are they hard to get out of. Well, let me read this article to you. And what I want you to do is just consider some of this research. To me, I'm just so totally into this stuff. But I want you just to think of this, or take it with a clean spoon, or let's look at it with a fresh set of eyes and ears, and just hear what Judy Phillips has to say. And the first part starts off, the numerous benefits for the skin of magnesium chloride. When talking about natural skin care and anti-aging, the subject of the Dead Sea always seems to surface. In fact, bathing in the Dead Sea has been recognized as a healing remedy for skin maladies for hundreds of years. You can find the Dead Sea at the bottom of the Syrian-African Rift Valley. And I didn't realize this, but that's exactly 1,280 feet below sea level. I would say that's a little bit lower than sea level, wouldn't you? It was called the Eastern Sea in biblical times. Mare Mortuum by the Romans, and the Sea of Salt by the Israeli Geographic Office. The uniqueness of the Dead Sea water is at the salt strength. Very unique. It's 11 times higher than that of the ocean. So the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea, is 33% salt versus 3% in the ocean. Moreover, the structure of the brine is distinctive, containing magnesium, potassium, and calcium chlorides. I don't think that's found anywhere else. It is interesting to note, however, that one of the main reasons the Dead Sea is so healing is because of the amount of the magnesium chloride that it contains. And there's a chart here, which I don't think it's important to go over, but the level of Magnesium chloride is 31 to 35% magnesium of the salt in the Dead Sea. There's a bunch of other stuff in there also, but nothing like the amount of magnesium chloride. That is the top dog in this game here. Today, research has confirmed the therapeutic and the rejuvenating effects of the Dead Sea's exceptional mineral content. In fact, multiple studies have substantiated beyond any doubt the effectiveness of these minerals in treating and preventing various maladies of the skin, such as psoriasis, eczema, and acne. Have you ever seen a person in public that had acne all over their body? It was just horrible. Sometimes I see women at the checkout line, and you can tell from their face to their forehead to their neck, even collarbones, the upper chest, upper arms and shoulders. I mean, they are just covered up. And so the Dead Sea has become one of the most famous sites for natural health and beauty treatments. People traveling from everywhere just to swim and bathe in its mineral-rich waters. What is more, magnesium extracted from the Dead Sea is used widely in the skincare industry for improving many of the conditions that relate to the skin. Well, what if you don't have psoriasis or eczema or acne, or you don't have dry, scaly skin? Well, this still might be important to you. What if you want to keep your skin intact and in good-looking order, good working order, and keep it young and healthy? I think that we should vote to do that. We all are aware that young women and children and babies, they have super soft skin. But did you know that this is because they have low calcium and high magnesium levels in their cells and soft tissues? Yeah, that's the reason why. Because when we're young, or when you're a baby, you have higher magnesium and low calcium. And see, that would be one of the reasons why I never recommend calcium supplements by themselves. If it says something like calcium citrate or calcium carbonate, you're just asking for trouble. If you want your skin to age rapidly, let's start depleting the body of magnesium and increasing calcium content. So, this next section is called detoxification of the skin. I do want you to pay attention to this. I want you to bear in mind that your skin is very porous. So, with that in mind, it's easy to understand that it can both absorb toxins from the environment. Once a toxin has breached the most superficial layer of the skin, which is called the stratum corneum, it travels through the epidermis and into the dermis. The body stores many of the environmental toxins in fatty tissues. That's one of the purposes of fat. Take the load off the blood in the body, but do you want to be the type of person that has a lot of toxic waste stored in your fat tissues? Well, no. So subsequently, the rich blood supply of the dermis carries a toxin in the bloodstream. The skin has the capacity to excrete these same toxins. In fact, the skin can alter lipid-soluble or oil-based compounds into water-based compounds, which can then be removed via the kidneys. Isn't that interesting? This is where magnesium chloride comes into play. Magnesium plays a role in cellular and tissue detoxification, and its optimal effective form is magnesium chloride, which produces a very powerful excretory effect on the toxins that are stuck in the tissues of the body by pulling them out through the pores of your skin during hydrotherapy. That may look like an Epsom salt bath. Magnesium chloride lures toxins from your tissues. It also helps restructure water into microclusters or microwater, which it's more easily for the water to permeate cell membranes that way. It also helps to replenish cellular magnesium levels, which is highly important. According to researcher Boyd Haley, and I'm going to quote Boyd here, all detoxification mechanisms have a basis of the energy required to remove a toxicant, the need for magnesium to drive the process. Which that's a fancy way of saying you've got to have magnesium if you want to detoxify the body. There is nothing done in the body that does not use energy. And without magnesium, this energy can neither be made or used. So bringing the dead, and I'm going on to quote here, bringing the dead sea home with you is not a very realistic. I mean, that kind of makes sense. You're not going to have a helicopter fill up with Dead Sea water and haul it to your backyard and pour it in your swimming pool, are you? Most likely not. That'd be a little bit expensive. Traveling there, is that an option? Oh, I would love to do that, but it's probably not going to happen by this weekend, is it? But haven't you seen those pictures in the National Geographic where people come from all over the world to bathe their bodies in the mineral-rich Dead Sea? Or to rub the mineral salts and the mud on them? Next part, rejuvenation of the skin. I like this topic very much. Now just play with this idea for a moment. The use of topical magnesium, and this one might be one of the few minerals that we could actually talk about applying topically, but remember, your skin is like a sponge. It can soak or drink up the magnesium it needs. So the use of topical magnesium, it augments the natural hydration of your skin, and it promotes the generation of collagen. Now, to me, that's very interesting. You have got to have collagen if you want your skin and your body to stay healthy. If you want your body to start breaking down, as in spider veins, varicose veins, sagging skin, well, you're going to have collagen if you want to repair all that. For example, when you have areas around your eyes and face that are treated with tropical magnesium, many people are going to tell you there's a significant reduction in the lines and the pore size and the depth of the wrinkles. Would you call it a good deal? Yes, I would too. Magnesium also benefits many other skin problems, as it is an indispensable electrolyte and critical cofactor in cell metabolism. Magnesium chloride could be called the mineral of rejuvenation, as it inhibits the calcification of our organs and tissues that is very typical of older age or age-related problems. There's also research in the area of scarring and wound healing that shows that in order to secure a better chance of healing wounds and avoiding scars, this means if you've had an injury or a scrape or a cut or a laceration, you don't want a scar to form. So the administration of magnesium must be early and high in order to form a more stable solid collagen. Collagen is the structural framework or the scaffolding of all the tissues of the body. There's a French professor, or was, excuse me, the year's 1915, so there was a French professor. His name is Pierre Delbert. What Professor Delbert was doing was he was trying to locate a mixture of emulsion for disinfecting wounds back in 1915. And he discovered that the customary antiseptic solutions actually degraded the tissues, and they helped assist the infection rather than preventing it. That is not good. Have you ever heard of somebody having a skin infection and the very things medically that were applied to it didn't do anything to help, but, you know, you kind of wonder, well, is this making matters worse? Well, after Pierre Delbert, or Professor Delbert, tested numerous mineral solutions, he found that magnesium chloride not only was non-toxic for the tissues, but it possessed an excellent result in regarding leukocyte activity. That means the very white blood cells that come to the area and remove infection and remove damaged tissues and debris and broken cells. So it was very ideal for external wound treatment. Who knew that the minerals that came from the Dead Sea in Israel could play such a valuable role in helping people heal their wounds? He continued his research with magnesium chloride and substantiated that it was a useful therapy for a long list of conditions, including acne, eczema, psoriasis, and warts. Warts. And itching from various origins. How many people have itching? A lot. Now, here's some research on psoriasis right here. Most of the people that have psoriasis, they just haven't heard of the advantages of using magnesium chloride for seborrhea and psoriasis treatment. In order to determine and corroborate the beneficial therapeutic effects of this mineral that has on these afflictions, a series of clinical research projects was carried out using Dead Sea Basalts by J. Arndt, MD, in Germany. This is a German doctor, obviously. He took 50 patients from the ages of 14 to 77, and he treated them with the salts in a control scenario. The treatment was made up of partial or total baths, lasting 20 minutes. The treatment was administered 3 to 4 weeks, with an average of 3 to 4 baths per week. The results were positive, and most symptoms, including itching, scaling, and sleep difficulty, they were reduced within 1 week of the treatment. Now, that's impressive. The success of bathing in Dead Sea salts to treat psoriasis is renowned. Bathing in the Dead Sea salt solution has also improved the stratum corneum, which is your outermost layer of the skin that I referred to earlier today. But you've got to have this to increase hydration of the skin. You tell me, do you want your skin to be well hydrated, or do you want it to be dried out? Well, of course you want to be hydrated, because hydration is very important for the suppleness and the health of the skin. Anytime there's diminished hydration of the skin, that leads to dry skin that is distinguished by roughness, scaliness, and reduced elasticity. Can you tell when there's reduced elasticity? Yes, you can. In another study utilizing the magnesium-rich Dead Sea salts, not only did they prevent a loss of skin moisture content, but they led to substantial increase in hydration of the outermost layer of the skin. Now, this is what I find it very intriguing. The German healthcare system pays for patients to travel to the Dead Sea for psoriasis treatment. And there are numerous other treatment sites available in Europe. More than 94% of psoriatic sufferers who have been tested respond positively to the Dead Sea salt treatments, and not to any other sea salt. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if the Affordable Care Act will pay for a flight to the Dead Sea or Israel so that people with psoriasis can soak in the water. Magnesium chloride is also an excellent treatment protocol for dermatitis. I am thinking of a particular gentleman that I've seen recently, not as a patient, but just I know him out in public. The nicest guy of all time. I mean, he is so funny. We just laugh nonstop, which I enjoy very much. But he has hands down got the worst case of seborrheic dermatitis that I've ever seen in my life. Every square inch of his body is by peeling, flaking skin. I wish I had a teleporter like on the Star Trek Enterprise where I could just put him in there and transport him over to the Dead Sea and he would come out 20 minutes later a new man. I can't do that though. The anti-inflammatory result of utilizing hypertonic Dead Sea solution on atopic dermatitis is well known. Further studies also reveal that the magnesium solution greatly reduced inflammation in allergic contact dermatitis. I don't know how many times that I've recommended somebody take an Epsom salt bath when they had a horrible allergic reaction on their skin. One study involved 5 patients that identified a nickel allergy. If you have never seen a nickel allergy, it is horrific. Go on to Google right now and type in nickel allergy or contact nickel allergy of the skin. It is brutal. When they used magnesium chloride, it cleared it right up. Now, these are some of the benefits of utilizing magnesium chloride topically. I just find this so intriguing. If I'm not mistaken, you could go to the health food store today and you could buy magnesium chloride or topical magnesium anytime you want. Now, on another level, It has been shown that magnesium might end up being the greatest mineral deficiency that we have in America right now. The one problem, as we're going to think through this, is if you go to a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant or whoever, and you have a blood test done that measures your magnesium levels, you've got to understand that the magnesium in the blood is, or the blood is, one of the most highly buffered systems of all time. So it is not going to allow your magnesium to fluctuate very much. You would die otherwise. You would literally have a heart attack and die if your magnesium level dropped in the blood. So basically, yeah, it's true. All the other tissues of the body are going to suffer, and they're going to give up magnesium to make sure that your blood stays quite buffered with it. So it is extremely unreliable on trying to determine magnesium levels by looking at a blood test. Now, what I could say in simplicity, if you eat white bread or white rice or any junk food, there is like the highest probability you're low in magnesium. I don't know if you've heard this before, but there is a substance found in Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper or Sprite or 7-Up. It's called phosphoric acid. You talk about a way to get the body to dump and purge magnesium and let go of that precious mineral. It's like you're losing gold or silver or platinum. Every time you drink a soft drink, the magnesium is just being washed right out of you. Now, I know you've heard this also, but when you're under tremendous amounts of stress, I personally think the worst stress of all time is emotional stress. You may have heard me say before that when they've studied people to find out what generates the highest amount of stress in a human being, is it because you're running from a lion or a tiger, or is there a pack of wild hyenas chasing you across the African Serengeti Plain? No, that does not generate. I mean, that does, but it's nothing compared to your thoughts. If you spend much time thinking about events that have happened in the past, it could have been a conversation, it could have been something bad that happened to you, that's all real. But when you spend any energy thinking about the past, oh my goodness, do you generate super high levels of adrenaline and cortisol, stress hormones. I think a close second, as far as what generates a stress, is putting yourself into the future and thinking about the what ifs. What if this doesn't work right? Or what if, these people come after me? There's just any number of possibilities, but you could say that probably living in the past, that would lead to depression, but living in the future, you know, what hasn't happened yet, but you think it could happen, that would be called anxiety. You know of anybody that's quite anxious, worrying about the future, or trying to solve what happened in the past? Well, I know you know this. I do too. I'm not perfect at this, but believe me, I've made my fair share of mistakes. But you can't really accomplish anything by living in the past, can you? Well, when you do have stress and anxiety, and you do suffer depression, I could not find the article, but there was a reference that I've read in the past. It's extremely common for a person that suffers from depression to be very, very low in magnesium. I talked to a man on the phone from Oklahoma this week, and he said, what about treating depression? Of course, this is such a broad topic, but can I just suggest to you that your body requires a certain amount of magnesium for optimal function? And if you try to function with over 300 enzymes that are dependent upon magnesium for proper optimal function, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's just not done. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, I just looked at the clock. It's almost 7:25. Please feel free. Give me a call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I would be more than happy to assist you. So if you're shopping for magnesium, you just might want to skip on the magnesium oxide. And you may want to go, if it's an oral form, I'm very fond of magnesium lactate, magnesium glycinate, magnesium citrate, magnesium citrate, malate, kind of butchered that one, those are forms that are better absorbed orally. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
Oh, I'm doing really good today.
Great.
How are you?
I love it. Thank you. I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Well, this is what I called. My son did not go to the doctor, but just woke up and his foot was just red and hurting and felt like someone smashed it with a hammer. And so his wife said, oh, it's gout. You have gout. And so we looked online and got some natural remedies, and he did those, and it was about 3 days, 3 or 4 days, and it got better.
What was the remedy that gave him the biggest bang for the buck?
Well, we did apple cider vinegar and lemon water and turmeric. I think he iced it and stayed off of it. Drank a lot of fluids.
Good boy.
And someone said, oh, he really needs to go to the doctor, he thought he would try it. So what is there something I hear about gout. I've heard it about it for years, but you never pay attention until someone you love has it or something.
Oh, no, that's completely understandable. I'd feel the same way. If I'd gone my whole life without gout and then I had it all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I'd be totally focused on what did I do to cause this. Does he tend to be overweight?
No, he's not.
Now, is there any history of anybody else in the family having gout?
Not that we know of. First ever.
Does he drink a lot of tea?
No, he does not. But he does drink alcohol.
Okay, well, that is a factor. There are filters that detoxify in the body. One would be called the kidneys. The other is the liver. And I think it's been proven that alcohol kind of limits them from doing their job well. But he doesn't remember, like, walking barefoot and having, like, a saber-toothed grasshopper bite him or something like that, right?
No.
Okay.
No, he does not. They kind of looked a little... His other foot actually looked like a little white splotchy, too. And
well, see, what I'm saying is not correct, but the first thought that popped in my mind is he's got cellulitis. That'd be like a bacterial infection. But he never had red streaks like he's
No, okay. No red streaks.
But was this just extremely, extremely painful?
Yes, and it was at night with the worst when he was sleeping.
Okay, all right. If we go backwards, maybe... can I say to the year 1988, I was in a clinic in La Porte, Texas, working for Dr. Mark Woods, who I really loved a lot. He was definitely had a unique personality. Sometimes he would yell at me. He said, would you get those x-rays done for me? I'm going, I'm working on it. But I had to do it in the dark back in those days. That was when it was low tech. So... It was like a red light shining in a room like somebody trying to develop films from like a photo shoot or something. But this guy walks in the clinic, and I was there running the show myself one day. And this guy walks in. He's wearing overalls. And I looked down at his foot, and he said, Doc, can you help me? I said, well, what's the deal? And he had the complete front half of his work boot was cut off where nothing was touching his toe.
Oh.
And I said, oh, my word. He said, listen, this is so painful. I've got to get some relief. I'm about to die. I think I'm going to shoot myself. But he had gout. And I'm being very honest with you. I knew nothing about it then, so I could not help him. So that's on me, but I've learned since then. So when the kidneys are kind of the gatekeeper for uric acid. And so the foods that have the most uric acid are going to be black tea. So if he doesn't drink black tea... It's not that. Now, there is a high correlation to the more sugar you consume, the more problems you're going to have with gout. So if he's not eating sugar, what is the substance that more resembles sugar to the body than anything else? It's probably alcohol. And so that could be putting a stress on his liver and kidneys where they just can't clear that uric acid. And if uric acid builds up, I mean, if you look at it microscopically, it looks like shards of glass that are accumulating, so every time he bends and moves, He's like stabbing himself with glass, like needles. Mm. It's horrible. Now, the reason I asked you about the remedies, I can tell you what my favorite one is that I think works the best and the fastest. It's called celery seed extract.
Celery seed, okay.
Yeah. You ever heard of that vegetable that you love to put peanut butter and raisins on top of?
I just bought it yesterday.
Oh, we're on the same page here. See, I knew that we had a connection the moment you called. But if you would give him, if he would take celery seed extract, but for him, you take a huge burden off the kidneys when you don't give it so much sugar and alcohol to have to deal with.
Okay, so this is a kidney-related gout.
In my mind, it totally
rather
is.
Rather than liver.
Well, but see, if the liver is weakened, that means the brunt of the rest of it's going to go to the kidneys.
Okay.
So, if a person has a liver that's being continually challenged by alcohol, you're asking for kidney problems.
Okay.
What does his skin look like?
His skin looks okay, but I noticed I compared my feet, and his feet looked a little ashen, a little...
Yeah,
kind of
how
like
about that?
Blotchy.
Yeah, and I would say he's just a little bit toxic there, if you ask me.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, I'm not trying to pick on him. I love him, maybe not the same way you do, but pretty darn close. And so if he could just wrap his mind around, okay, this is not going well, I can't keep doing this. And so his body's crying out right now. And so anytime that there's like a buildup of toxins, you can almost always see it in the feet. So if the feet are becoming splotchy, if they're looking like ashen, if there's lots, and so if his toenails look just creamy pink and white and beautiful, then I probably don't know what I'm talking about. But what you'll see is the toenails start to thicken just a little bit when the feet become congested with toxins, and the toenails tend to thicken and yellow just a little bit. That's opposed to fingernails that look... I mean, have you seen just beautiful examples of fingernails on women and kids?
Yes.
Do his toenails look like that?
I'm not that observant, but I am going over there today, and I will take a look.
I think you can get away with anything. You're mom. You can do anything you want to.
I am.
And so the lemon juice was just a splendid idea, because when you start adding lemon juice, if you squeeze lemon into every glass of water that he drinks, I think we're going to go a long way to kind of helping his body cleanse and clean itself, and that's good. Now, do you know, does his job require him to be very physically active and sweat a lot?
It did, but now it does not.
Okay. Now, are you saying the job has ended, or are you saying he doesn't sweat like he used to?
He did have a physical job, and now he's in sales, and he has a cab, he drives around and calls on
And you know what? It may have been that he had great protection as long as he was sweating and detoxifying with his former job. But now that he's sedentary, he just doesn't have the opportunity to get his body clean, does he?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And that's where, you know, you could probably...
build up. Yeah, that's why he's never had this problem before, probably.
Well, and one of the things that I think of, forever people have taken Epsom salt baths or mineral baths, kind of like I talked about earlier, and this is a way that you start drawing toxins out of the skin. Now, uric acid is probably the highest in black tea, but you're going to get a lot of it when you eat pork.
Okay.
And so alcohol, it tends to inhibit how your body clears uric acid, so if it builds up. So if I could trick him into eating more vegetables and fruit and light on the meat, we could turn all this around pretty quick.
Well, I'm writing all this down, and then I thought, I'm going to have him listen to this podcast.
That's right. How old is he?
He is 31.
Oh, he's a kid. My goodness.
He's had his first baby January 31st. Well, my first grandbaby.
Did he really? Was a little boy or girl?
Girl.
Oh, my goodness. What's her name?
Isabella Renee.
She's Italian?
No.
I want you to use your best Italian accent and say Isabella.
Isabella.
There you go. Par favore. Okay. Oh, I bet she is beautiful, isn't she?
Oh, she is. She has absolutely takes my breath away.
Well, what does she call you all right now?
Well, her big brother calls me Nemo.
Oh, so, well, she'll probably come up with something all by herself any day now.
Yes, she will. Well, can I ask another quick
of
question now
can.
Relating to my daughter? She has scoliosis, and it's she's in the medical field where she does pull patients a lot, and so starting to hurt her. And she's gone to a chiropractor, and is that proven really beneficial for scoliosis?
Well, you know, before you even ask, I was going to ask you, has it helped tremendously?
Well, actually, they put these electrodes on her neck, and yeah, she said it's just, it really has.
Well, then, good. You know, the first thing that popped in my head, I thought about, what if she started doing yoga every single day?
Well, would that help? I know she would do it.
Something's going to have to give, because this is the way that I've used scoliosis. And I realize this is going to be like out there, but it's just my ideas about it. Because, you know, if you look at how they treat this, it's usually surgery with titanium rods. That's one example. And anything that we can do to avoid that, that's less toxic, is like a game changer. But I think that one of the reasons why scoliosis forms is because there's a change in lymphatic blood flow or lymphatic fluid flow in that area, and that creates stagnation. And so the spine kind of twists and contorts and turns to it. So I think if a person's thinking radically about this, they probably sit back and go, okay, I've got the curve going this way. What can I do to help offset that? Well, it may be that you work on muscle groups to relax them on one side of the spine, but you try to strengthen them on the other. And so that's where things like yoga or maybe Pilates might come in handy, to where you can neurologically start to get these muscles to work and do their job better. So I might even be kind of crazy. I might like rub some magnesium chloride on the side that's too tight, and then massage and work the muscle spindles on the other side to try to strengthen the weak muscles, the ones that are feeble, and relax the ones on the other side. But increasing lymphatic circulation to the spine, in my mind, is one of the greatest things that I've ever seen happen in the people that I've treated with scoliosis. So if she's getting a benefit, I would probably keep it up.
Okay. Yes, she goes about 3 times a week, and she does. She loves it, but just didn't know if there's anything in addition we could add to that.
Well, I know what I would do. I would, I'm going to give you a different idea. I always think that when there's a problem with the spine, you want to look to, are we eating any foods that might be counterproductive? And I realize it's going to be like maybe a wild idea, but a lot of times I'll find that a person has one particular weakness toward a food or an intolerance. I might even go as far as to call it a true allergy in some cases. And so sometimes naming and identifying what that food is, and so, for example, I saw a person not that long ago that their spine was just in horrible shape, but when I examined them, the food that kept coming back that was problematic was corn. Of course, they were Hispanic, and when they looked at me, they're saying, are you crazy? Do you know how many corn tortillas I eat every week? I'm going, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you, I love you. But, you know, without the corn, all of a sudden all this pain in the spine started going away. So I'm not trying to overpromise an idea to you, but this tends to be like a recurring theme that comes up over and over again when people have a spinal contortion or scoliosis. That's one of the things I have to look for. So let's just say that that could be as much as 80% of the problem or 20% of the problem. Wouldn't you want to have a 20% improvement if you just knew what to avoid? So for some people, when they eat corn or dairy or... And some people, it's eggs or MSG or wheat or other stuff. If you don't eat that, all of a sudden, there might be not the inflammation goes away.
I see. Okay. Well, one thing I'm always on her about is she eats those flaming hot chips and
that evil, evil, wicked woman. She's horrible.
Flaming. I really tell her. I said the food color. I don't know. That's just.
Well, you know what that stuff is? That's corn and MSG.
Exactly.
And that stuff has been shown to be so brutally toxic to the human body. I realize if I was starving to death, I'd probably eat one too, but I'm not starving to death.
Well, you might be onto something here. So,
well, the monosodium glutamate is one surefire way if you want to screw up the brain and the nervous system, and that's what controls the scoliosis. I mean, those muscles are so powerful. If they decide they're going to pull the spine in a direction, you can't stop it. Even if you insert titanium rods, those rods can just shear and snap in half. But have her think about that. But this can be improved upon. That is all okay. We can do is improve upon her, and she can get much better.
That is good to hear, and she'll continue with the chiropractor.
Let me know what happens, but thank you for your phone call.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. There is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If you haven't called before, this program is Health Essentials, and you can call right now if you want to. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for your phone call.
Sure. I've been dealing with an issue on my fingernails. They used to go real long, but they've been peeling like an onion, you know? Just.
Oh, boy, yes. Well, your fingernails are not onions. Do you know what essential fatty acids are? It could be everything from flaxseed oil to cod liver oil. That legitimately is one of the main side effects. If you start getting low in essential fatty acids in your body, your fingernails start to peel like an onion.
Okay.
So you need to consider that. If do you know what the moons or the luna is at the base of your nail bed? Do you have five on each finger or four?
No.
Okay.
I used to, and I thought, well, that's weird too, because I remember you talking about it at some point, but I didn't know what I needed it for.
I think this is kind of building a case that if we want to improve your nails, we've got to improve the internal health of your body. And so there is a substance that you've got to get from nature. You've got to get minerals, and you've got to get essential fatty acids. So you might consider either consuming flaxseed oil or cod liver oil or both to see if your nails start to recover and improve, and where those lunas or the moons start to grow back. And see, I started to call them the moonas. That's not the first time I've tried to combine two words, luna and moon. Luna is not a real word, okay?
Okay.
See, I'm blaming that on you. Not sure why. But the luna is going to be a sign that you're getting adequate oxygen throughout your body. And I think this is a pretty big deal because you need more oxygen. Every human being that's going to perform at their very best and be able to function at a high level, you got to have oxygen. I could probably build a case that without oxygen, we would be dead.
Well, sure. I think so.
Do you know there's an organ in the body that holds about a 4 to 5 minute reserve of oxygen? You know what it's called?
The lung?
No. Tell him he had a good guess. It's called the spleen.
The spleen. Okay. You know, we've talked about my spleen before, and
the spleen, if your husband decides he's going to chase you around the house, but of course you've got to run for your life, correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, if you get a stitch in your side, you will not get a stitch on the right side of your body. That's where the liver is. You're going to get a stitch on the left side. That's where the spleen is. And so
left side seems to bother me.
Well, how about that? We're starting to kind of build a case to figure you out. But when you get a stitch on the left side, that's because you're low in oxygen. Your spleen says, oh, my goodness, why is he chasing me again? Doesn't he know that I'm low in oxygen? So your spleen contracts, And when it contracts pretty vigorously, you get this stitch in your side.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't have enough oxygen, that's where you don't have the moons on your nail beds.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know one thing that will solve that? If your husband says, I have decided to follow Dr. Morgan's advice, and you and I can hold hands and we can walk around the neighborhood every day.
Okay.
So if you start walking every day, you're going to start to build your oxygen.
Yeah, we never walk together.
Well, you tell him. I said he has to. I demand that he walk.
The neighbors would say, who is that walking with her?
They're going to say, it's a stranger. Maybe we should call her husband and say, do you know that your wife is walking in the neighborhood with another man?
Right.
Stranger danger.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you should carry a .357 Magnum with you. No, I'm only joking about that. But if y'all start walking every day, what's going to happen is you're going to start generously building your oxygen. If you start eating more vegetables and a little bit of fruit, that stuff is full of oxygen.
Okay.
Do you like spinach and kale and Swiss chard?
Spinach.
Do you like turnip greens or collard greens?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. We like them. I just don't eat them as often, I guess, as I should.
Well, if you will resolve to start eating more of that, that's going to make a difference. The other thing that can help change your blood, see, by its very nature, oxygen is more of an alkaline substance. That means it's really, really good for your blood and really good for your cells.
Mm-hmm.
But acid substances, those are really, really hard on your fingernails. And so acid substances are things like sugar and sweets, and I probably shouldn't even say this, but like beer and alcohol and soda waters, those are all acid right there.
Okay.
And so when you start getting more slightly alkaline stuff, like maybe a half a teaspoon of baking soda every day, you're going to start to turn this around.
Mm-hmm.
And your body is going to start to change for the better. I don't mean there's anything wrong with your body, but I'm saying, if we use the wisdom that God gives us, which I'm very grateful for wisdom, what we want to do is we want to say, what can we do to increase oxygenation? Well, fish oil will help with that, and flaxseed oil can help with that, and using olive oil will help with that. But if you eat foods that are like fried in canola oil and soybean and corn oil, you're asking to destroy your body.
Yeah. Well, I don't buy canola oil at all. I generally use olive oil and coconut oil to
cook
with.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was wondering, well, what else can I do that I'm not doing, but I don't eat enough?
Well, you've got to have zinc and magnesium in order to properly utilize fats. And I think a lot of times when this is a different topic, obviously, but if a person has a very hard time losing weight, I start to think, well, I bet you they just don't have enough magnesium and zinc to make that equation possible.
Okay.
There is a vitamin called vitamin K2. I don't mean the street drug, the synthetic marijuana K2. That's not what I'm referring to.
I hope not.
Every time I recommend K2, they say, do you mean synthetic marijuana? I'm going, no, that is not what I mean.
They should know you better by now, right?
No, they're just trying to be funny, and I think it's hilarious. You know what? There is a guy that runs a vape shop close to where I am, but he is the nicest guy in the world. And I asked him, I said, is your job easy? He said, no, it is not easy. I said, well, why is it not easy? He said, because of people. I said, well, what is the most difficult thing they ask you? He said, 98% of all people, they bring their vaping devices in here, and they won't read the directions, and they say, this thing won't work.
Uh-huh.
And I show them how to make it work, and it's all because they didn't do that. Anyway, I'm digressing, but your body has got to have magnesium and zinc.
Okay.
And you've got to have K2 if you want to help transport fat into the mitochondria. And see, when your nails start to peel, that means the mitochondria, which these are the powerhouses of your cells, or your furnaces or your engines, they're not working real well. So are you going to tell me that you have the most energy of any woman on the planet?
No, I don't have energy. And
what is your boyfriend's name in the background?
One out fast.
Kevin.
Kevin. I like the name Kevin.
Yeah.
Is Kevin pretty much an awesome dude?
He He is. He's pretty awesome. We're in the process of building a home, but when we do a lot, but when we're done, I am done.
Is Kevin doing a lot of the work himself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He is my hero. I want to be just like Kevin.
Yeah, he's my hero, too, but...
What if Kevin asked you on a date? He said, "Now this is a surprise date, sweetheart. Put on your tennis shoes and shorts." And you're going, "What kind of day is this going to be?" And y'all walk down the neighborhood and back.
Yeah, that would be.
But you've got to find some way to get the oxygen levels up. So baking soda will help.
Okay.
Magnesium and fish oil and flax oil is going to help. And
okay.
if you kind of made a deal with Kevin and said, "Kevin, if we're going to be able to pay for this house and live in it for 40 years, we're going to have to start eating better."
Yeah.
If you start eating more vegetables, so cook your zucchini and put butter on it.
Yeah.
If you use some salt, use Celtic or Celtic salt, which is rich in magnesium.
Yes, sir.
It's low in sodium.
That.
Oh, see, look, you're doing all these things right. But we got to build strength in your body.
Right.
You got to get your strength back.
Okay, so
Kevin, I just heard what Kevin said. He said, "I didn't sign on for a woman with low energy. I need my woman to have a lot of energy to get make some things happen." Didn't I hear him say that?
Yeah, he does. He does.
Okay. If you work through those, you'll be better off.
Vitamin K.
That's right. Menoquinone.
Menoquinone, okay.
Not synthetic marijuana.
This stuff on Monday.
If you don't do this, I'm going to give permission for Kevin to crack the whip. I'm joking.
Oh, he'll do it. But, I'll try that and see if I can get back on it.
And then what you've got to have is you've got to have time and consistency to make this work.
Yes.
Could you imagine if a person had horrible, horrible varicose veins?
Mm-mm.
They're not going to go away in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to follow a plan of action, and walking can be part of that plan, or like compression stockings, something like that. But you got to build your muscle up.
Right.
So you turn to Kevin right now and say, "Kevin, is there any heavy manual labor I can do today to help you out?"
Oh,
he's
got a list.
Kevin, I think you got a good plan, buddy.
He keeps a checklist.
And remember, if she doesn't lift it correctly, say, "Sweetheart, put your back into it. Come on, use your back. Bend with your legs."
Okay, doctor. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a blessed
day. Oh, you too.
Again.
Great blessings upon you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm sure Kevin's like rubbing his hands together right now going, all right, I can deal with this. I can do what has to be done. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
I had a question. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, I have a question related to menopause. A couple years ago, I started not sleeping at all, and my gynecologist did some labs, and sure enough, in menopause. And I guess after a couple of years of not sleeping, I got a little desperate and decided to try bioidentical hormones. And it did help initially. They put me on progesterone 100 milligrams at night, which is supposed to be bioidentical, made from wild yams, not synthetic, compounded, in a compound lab. And then also... recently, she tried some, my estrogen was like below 17, and I have my labs right here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I didn't really feel like there was any help with that, and I just want
primarily
something natural.
And the reason why it's not helping is it's not hitting the nail on the head. It's not addressing the primary cause of the issue or the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
And what?
Well,
so
you tell me. What is I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
I was just going to say, what is the main thing that would help me normalize my hormones in a natural way, and not take any of this? I don't. It's scary, and I don't want to do it.
Well, do you have any trouble with constipation at all?
I do.
Do you have any trouble with energy throughout the day?
Yes, a little bit. Yes, I do.
Would you say it's consistently hard to sleep really well at night?
Yes.
Well, then I would say at the very least we need to do a little experiment right here. And obviously I don't mind experimenting with you, because I would never do that to myself, but I don't mind experimenting with you. Is that okay? Well,
yes.
Consistent with the theme, and what I did this morning, you don't know this, but I'll tell you right now, but I started looking up research on magnesium, because I was just kind of, I said, you know, I'm going to talk about this today. But one of the things I came across, and I don't have the scientific reference for you, but would you believe me if I told you that one of the roles of magnesium and zinc is to make sure you have optimal production of female hormones? And so I know I'm an oversimplifier, but just simply put, if you lack magnesium, you're going to have sleep problems, energy problems, and constipation. And so you could start the process of just kind of playing with this and see if it starts to improve your natural production of progesterone and estrogens. The way that I look at this...
I already take a supplement.
You take what?
I already take a supplement every night. It has magnesium citrate and magnesium... Oh, it says oxide. But well, it's 450 milligrams, and it has zinc 30 milligrams, and I take that every single night.
Well, the other thing that I want you to consider is, if it takes you longer than 5 minutes to fall asleep, then you have an issue with an overproduction of a hormone, of a chemical called cortisol. If you fall asleep easily, but you wake up wide awake and you're awake for over an hour in the middle of the night, that's an adrenaline problem. And so all I want to suggest to you is, if you've got too much cortisol or too much adrenaline, you might burn through your magnesium at a much higher rate than somebody else will, or you'll excrete it. I read an article about Kosovo, which I realized that's a whole different, you know, that's across the Atlantic Ocean, over in like Croatia, whatever that part of the world's called. Forgive me for not knowing, but they showed that when people were under stress from war, they just dumping magnesium like crazy. And I realize a doctor has not done a urine test to find out how much magnesium you're dumping, but I bet you anything, you're going through this at a faster rate than what you can replenish it. And so if you eat magnesium...
Yeah, and actually, I had my...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No,
go
ahead.
I had my doctor check it. It's 2.2.
Well, but that's when you do a blood test for magnesium... I don't even think that counts. There's just no way it's going to be off. I wouldn't even put any stock or cotton in that. But what you could do today is you could go buy some topical magnesium and start rubbing it over your muscles. And then see if within a week of doing this, that all of a sudden your sleep becomes consistently better. And if you do, that's a win. That means you're achieving better hormone balance if you can sleep better. And if your constipation starts to go away, then we can win with that.
Yes.
But you might want to look at a different form of magnesium. You might check out magnesium lactate or magnesium glycinate and just see if you start to feel better within about 10 days. I mean, what is the worst thing that I could do to you? You could probably have a little bit of loose stool. Are you going to be so upset with me that you'll never forgive me if that happens to you by overdosing on magnesium?
No.
Okay, good. Then we're in business. Go ahead and try it. So, if you will, let's give that a shot for starters. And the other thing is, and I realize I'm looking at the clock, I've got just seconds left in the program, and I really want to help you. But let me suggest to you that you do something to support your adrenal glands. And maybe an herb called ashwagandha, it might be worth trying that to see if you see an immediate benefit. But just think about...
And I take three of those every night. So I know all these things that I've tried them, and it just seems like it's...
No, there's a way to solve this. Well, what I'm concerned about is if we can stop the adrenaline, the cortisol, and calm those things down. I mean, obviously, your mind doesn't race at night, does it?
Yes.
Oh. Well, if you will, could you please call me next week, and I will be more than happy to devote whatever energy I can to helping you, because this needs to change, and you need to be radiant and beautiful and strong and super healthy woman, right?
Yes.
Your husband is going to call and thank me after I'm through with you.
I don't have one.
Your children are going to call and thank me. Anyway,
I'm older than that. But anyway,
Well, if you will, I'm rooting for you. Let's just tackle this piece by piece, and I'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.